the practice squad. This is David Schmidt. Jordan Stahl over there. Hey, Jordan.
What's up, guys?
Craig Garman.
What's up?
Decked out in Pacers gear.
Yeah.
Boo. Billy, what's happening?
Good.
Follow along at FR Practice Squad on Twitter. Give us that follow. We have fun polls up there every once in a while. We'll update those later. And we just have generic tweets that Jordan normally comes up with. Or give us a call, 419-516-0702. Jordan, the Browns are doing some interesting things.
Yeah, so it's been a fun little, 12 hours here.
How happy are you? 1 to 10.
How happy am I?
What's the scale? Yeah.
I would say it's 7, maybe?
Oh, that's pretty good. We'll get into all that, too. The Bengals, they won a game that should have been a blowout, but they won. A win is a win, right, Garmin?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very positive. The Titans had a bye, so we'll give Philly a quick Titans corner.
Real quick.
And our draft 10.0 is our favorite TV show scenes. So favorite scenes in a TV show. So be thinking of yours, too. So we'll take a break.
Feeling hungry but don't want to make it yourself? Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and they'll make it for you. They're now open every day. Whether it's their pizza, wings, salads, subs, or other sandwiches that you want, just let them do the work. And you don't want to miss their Friday lunch buffet with their famous pizza, wings, and salad bar from 11 to 1. Their Queen of Hearts drawing will be every Saturday afternoon at 3:30, so be sure to get out there and get your tickets for your chance to win. And now's the time to get your lanes reserved for birthday parties and other events. That's Miracle Lanes. Call them at 375-4274.
Our story started 80 years ago with a series of handshakes and a belief in a hard day's work. Four generations later, those beliefs and morals still shape who we are. Our word is our bond, our commitment is unwavering, and our family is everything. At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture. Join our family today and apply online at cooperfarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a work.
Klinkern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klinkernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klinkern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hi, I'm Laura Wenning with A Simple Touch, and I'm here with Maria Burns, Lifestyles Beauty, and Krista Mullenkamp from Sunshine Boutique. We're here from the Four Recovery Merchants to tell you about one of the events we do. There's a First Thursday coming up. What can you tell us about that?
On Thursday, November 1st, we will be doing our first annual turkey drop at 8 p.m. Turkeys will be dropped from above into buckets in the parking lot between Sunshine Boutique and Amerigas. Tickets for these turkeys can be purchased if you want to win some goods.
So where do you get these tickets, and how much do they cost?
You can buy them at Tin Cupboard, Forget Me Not, Sunshine Boutique, A Simple Touch, Four Recovery Insurance, Lifestyles Beauty, Kelly's Shoes, Kelp's Pharmacy, Cooper's Farms, Ace Hardware. The tickets are $1 for $1 or $6 for $5.
So what kind of things can we win?
Well, the biggest prize is the 50-50 raffle. We're trying to sell 1,000 tickets, so you can do the math there. Cooper Farms is also donating turkey rolls, and local merchants are donating either gift certificates from their stores or other items from their stores.
What else will be going on downtown that night?
Come on down to Shop the Fort, eat, drink some pop, and have a few beers. We will also have some surprise entertainment for you.
A big thank you to Cooper Farms and the Southwest Mercer Fire Department for their help with the first annual turkey drop on Thursday evening, November 1st, from 5 to 8 in downtown Fort Recovery during our first Thursday in the fort. Get your tickets early for the turkey drop at your local merchants.
Hey, we're back. Follow along at FR Practice Squad on Twitter. You feeling DJ Fresh Kid?
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling it.
Is it. What is it, Fresh Kid?
DJ Fresh Kid,
yeah.
With a PH and a Y.
So you know it's good.
Yeah.
Our call is 419-516-0702. The Browns fire Hugh Jackson.
Oh, no.
It is the breaking news of today, so we'll throw it to
That's
Jordan.
Not always.
And Todd Haley.
Todd Haley. Yeah, so if you don't be careful, they might fire you too. So.
Well, I don't work for them.
Well, doesn't matter.
They'll reach out and just fire me.
Yeah.
Fire me from the show. They probably have the power to do that somehow.
They do.
So let's talk about what they did this week first. They lost to the Steelers.
Okay, yeah.
There is a stat that I read that they fired their last like five coaches after the Steelers.
This makes it six. Yeah. So Hugh kept the streak alive, the last five coaches.
What is it like to be a Steelers fan where like you just go into Cincinnati and ruin their life and then you go into Cleveland and ruin their like
they ruin our organization.
Yeah. Like every time you fire somebody.
You have to wake up and be a Steelers fan.
Yeah, so. That's true. Yeah, that's true. That'd be worse.
Yeah, they're losers.
But yeah,
the game itself,
they are.
The game itself started off on a nice foot.
Yeah, the first half wasn't bad.
I didn't watch much. I threw it on and it was 6-0. I thought, well, they're scoring field goals, not touchdowns. They're going to lose.
I kind of felt the same. I wasn't comfortable, but our defense looked good, which I knew probably was going to last the whole game. But the first quarter went all right. We would drive the field and then stall, you know, somewhere between the 20 and 30 yard line. Our field goal kickers started off like a field goal kicker should and made his two kicks.
Yeah.
Defense was, I mean, they didn't have a first down, I think, until the second quarter.
Did he miss any kicks?
Yeah, he missed his third kick that would have made it 9-0.
Okay.
And then after that, it pretty much went all downhill. And then he also missed an extra point later on.
So he's gone too?
No, he's still there.
Who are you going to replace him with?
Some other guy.
Who's out there?
Me.
Jordan.
There you go.
Ex-4 recovery football kicker, Jordan Sunga. Yeah.
Who never attempted any field goal besides an extra point.
You did at a Bengals tailgate party, and you kicked it over the
parking lot.
Into the parking lot below.
Three stories down.
Yeah, because I believe you made the statement like, I'm a kicker, I can do this.
Yeah.
So then everyone watched you, and you moved back. There was a line.
I didn't move back.
You moved back all cocky. Back.
Truly, truly humbling.
Yeah, experience. And you missed the net, and it went over the ledge and down.
You guys ready to go find our seats?
Yeah, yeah. We gotta go game time.
We bailed quick. Yeah, I'll never forget that.
And there's some little kid. Look at that idiot.
That was one
for everybody.
I had confidence in my life. And then after that, oh yeah.
You were feeling good about your kicking skills.
Now I know.
Got brought back down to earth real quick.
So they lost the Steelers. I mean, I don't know. I just felt like the story of the game was like you guys were getting field goals and then they just threw a bomb to Antonio Brown and then they were up.
Antonio got loose twice.
James Conner's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
good. I don't think Le'Veon Bell is going to play this year for the Steelers.
Did you see that? Because of that. Did you see that statistic of Le'Veon Bell's season last year versus his this year? He's got like 200 more yards and like three more touchdowns.
Well, he hasn't played this year.
No,
his
2017 season compared to
stepped on your joke.
Yeah, like.
Gotcha. Yeah. But yeah, like I drafted Le'Veon in fantasy and he's not going to play for
the trade deadline is Tuesday. If he don't get traded on Tuesday, I'm going to say he's going to hold out the rest of the year.
He's going to play.
He has
to. He's going to show up.
Will they play him?
No, I don't know, but he'll have to be there by week 10 or 11. That's the rule for him to be a free agent.
I don't think they'll play him if they don't need to.
How many million dollars has he thrown away?
Going into yesterday, or including yesterday, it was like $6.8 million.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just money.
Is he going to get paid?
He'll get paid, but I don't think he'll make up to $7 million he's
lost. What I don't understand why he's doing this. Like, he thinks he's going to make up this money, and I don't think someone's going to pay him.
Because... Well, it's also... I mean, it's not about making... Some of it's not about making up. It's about guaranteeing the next contract.
And, being a... example that for other players, I guess.
I don't think it's going to work, but whatever.
I don't either. So the Browns lose. I guess there's not that much in-depth analysis other than
We were the Browns. Our offense regressed for the second week.
Because you got involved in the play calling.
That might be why. I don't know. But going in the second half, going into the fourth quarter, 9 minutes left, we had -1 yard of total offense. And Nick Chubb started off running the ball well. He had 50 yards on the first 8 runs. And then from that, he had 10 yards the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Baker had a few nice throws.
Any drops this week?
No.
Not that I can recall. I
saw Callaway had a touchdown.
Did you see it?
Which touchdown?
Yeah.
It was kind of ugly. But he like fought for it.
Yeah. I mean, it was one-handed.
Yeah.
Contested
throw. Yeah.
Any big collusion going down this week with the Browns per usual? As I see on Twitter.
The referee collusion?
Oh.
Like the NFL is the reason why you guys have been undefeated.
No.
The spot. The only thing I heard was a no gain. And then they spotted it 2 yards in front of.
Like, I joke, but it does seem like there's one massive mistake every Browns game.
Which made it like 4th and inches instead of 4th and 2.
Yeah. I didn't see that, but.
It's pretty obvious. It was really bad.
There was like a hedgy roughing the passer call that shouldn't have been, but whatever.
Well, so that brings the record to what?
2-4-1.
Okay.
Right? 2-5-1.
Is it officially, well, I guess.
You played 8 games.
You fire Hugh today.
2-5-1.
Is it like rebuild mode now?
Pretty much right after the game, I think people were calling for his head.
Yeah.
It got louder, I guess. Even last week, they started calling for his job.
Yeah. I do like when people say call for their head.
So you put Tyrod back in, throw the season away, get the number one pick.
You know, I think people were expecting sometime this week that it would have happened. If not, I was thinking maybe the bye, but whatever. Because, you know, this sets us up perfectly for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
You guys got the Chiefs?
Yeah, we got the Chiefs.
There was a tweet I saw, too. It would be the most Browns thing ever. To beat the Chiefs and then go on a 4-year losing streak?
I would say...
That's a trap game.
Yeah. Browns are going to cover at least. I don't know, win, but we might cover.
I'm calling a win.
So I think everyone was checking Twitter.
Right, I'm going to call right now.
Checking Twitter last night and then this morning and I think 10:30 or 11 o'clock they kind of announced it. So
I immediately thought that they would hire Todd Haley.
That's where I thought too.
That's where a lot of people's heads were at. And then, like,
has he ever been a head coach in the league? I don't think he has.
Yeah, he has.
The Chiefs. He was a head coach for the Chiefs.
Yeah, he was. And he did Brown in the playoffs.
I didn't remember. I thought he was just their coordinator.
No, he was a head coach because both him and Greg Williams have been head coaches.
Who was his quarterback? Alex Smith.
Trent Green.
Trent Green. I think he might have been there for Alex Smith too.
Okay.
And then he was like offense coordinator for like Arizona Cardinals when they were good, like their Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
And then for the Steelers the last 6 years or whatever it was.
Well, then they proceeded to fire him.
So, but there's, you know, there's an hour and a half, 2 hours there where we kind of thought it was going to be Haley or Greg or whoever won that little internal battle. Mm-hmm. And then word was coming out that it was going to be Al Saunders. That was going to be the head coach to keep Haley as offense coordinator and then Greg as defense coordinator. And then, like, a little after one, they kind of announced that Todd Haley has also been fired. So that was a surprise. And I think it kind of just sent the message that John Dorsey wasn't going to take any crap and he wasn't going to let some battle... kind of ruin
drama.
Yeah, some drama ruined the whole Browns organization in Baker's first year, which, you know, this is exactly how you kind of want a rookie quarterback's first year to go.
It's unfortunate because they're going to screw, that's going to screw something up.
Yeah, but it's also like, it would be worse to keep him around. It looks bad, and I get how the opticals look.
Yeah.
It looks bad, but it would be worse if we kept him there.
So of those three, which one would be the one you would want? Of Haley, Jackson, and Williams.
Hugh. Just to finish out the year?
Yeah.
Or, like, as a coach?
I mean, to finish out the year. I mean, I guess, like, because if you knew that, well, I guess between Haley and Williams, if you kind of knew that Hugh was
Haley, I mean, I get why they fired him.
Because he was, like, undermining.
Yeah, and I think his attitude rubs people the wrong way. I wouldn't mind it. But I could see how it, like, apparently he was not listening to any suggestions that you had, which is totally Todd Haley. Like, I see that. Like, hey, guys, we're not going to listen to Hugh. I'm just going to do whatever I want. But if that was the case, I thought our offense might be better. If anybody was holding it back, I would think it would be Hugh trying to do stuff.
Yeah.
But our offense just didn't look right.
You knew Hugh Jackson was involved because I didn't throw three tackles out into the flats.
Yeah.
It
hasn't looked creative. You know, I don't think they've adapted at all to what Baker can do well. Like, what, like... the Chiefs are doing Pat Mahomes or Trubisky. Yeah. We're not doing any of that.
Yeah.
Because he definitely, I think, has the talent to do that. We're just, our offense looks kind of mundane. And
yeah.
That's kind of the thing that drives me crazy is when people draft like these quarterbacks so high It's like they just try and, like, you know, circle in the square. Like, this is our offense. You're going to fit. Like, no, you draft this guy for
and
a reason.
I know what you mean, Graham.
I don't think that's going to be the case with our next hire.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully. Yeah, like, with you guys, with Mariota. Like, base your offense around his skill set.
Yeah.
No. Same thing with Baker.
We're going to run an I formation offense, but we drafted this guy that can run, maybe.
Yeah. Who's your, like, short list of coaches? Urban Meyer.
No,
the Oklahoma guy, like
Lincoln Riley,
that pretty early today.
Yeah,
what's that story about? I saw a thing where they said Sean McVay's going to come over and coach the Browns.
Because Sean McVay's the head at the top of the odds right now.
How in the world?
Why would he leave?
I don't know why. I think it was oddsmaker.com or wherever they tweeted out that
I saw that.
Is there any, like,
and there's a story about when Baker went to the,
okay, that's why I wanted to know Miami, Ohio.
What's the connection?
Yeah, so
sat together on a flight while he was going to Indianapolis for the combine. That's the story I read.
He
said
he would sell the farm for Baker. And the only other, if they would win a Super Bowl, I don't know if he'd be more likely to leave if they won the Super Bowl or if they lost.
He's like the toast of LA. Like, why would he?
You leave?
He won't leave. I don't know why. It's going
to
change.
I'm just saying, like, I don't mean to
be mean to Cleveland, but I'd rather live in LA. You know?
You would not.
That seems like the mistake.
Especially, like, if you've seen, like, what the stadium that they're going to have.
Yeah.
That place will be awesome.
Yes.
And who wouldn't want to live in L.A.?
Yeah.
And be paid millions of dollars.
Yes. Then he's not going to Cleveland.
Can't go to
Cleveland. He basically would be doing the reverse LeBron.
Yeah. Yes, he would.
Yeah.
Yep.
Getting all the notoriety.
But, hey, I mean, I don't know. Maybe someone has more knowledge than we do.
So. Well, and maybe he's like some kind of like, I mean, you'd have to be like a legit, like, not care about anything with just football and just have such stones to be like, I'm going to go to Cleveland. I'm going to turn this around.
Yeah,
that'd be the only thing.
But my short list will be, I think, you know, I guess Lincoln Riley and then Matt Campbell, who's Iowa State head coach, are two names being
thrown. I saw his name, yeah.
John DeFilippo, who is the offense coordinator for the Vikings right now.
Yeah.
He's also been tossed down too, but
well,
they almost have to go.
They won't hire a guy during the season, will they?
No.
Yeah.
No. There's no point.
No way. Yeah.
So they'll wait till the offseason.
So yeah, Freddie Kitchens, our running back coach, is now our offense coordinator.
It's not Zampezi.
It's not Zampezi, which I'm glad.
Oh, I wish it was. So we would
Zampezi's with Cleveland?
Yeah. I wish he was
quarterback coach.
The Bengals have two games with the Browns yet, and we need those two wins desperately.
Yep.
So I was very much hoping. Yeah. And I guarantee that Hugh Jackson will be on the Bengals staff by the end of the week.
I
saw a tweet that someone tweeted, it was like, how long will it take
for be a consultant?
Hugh to be a consultant, yeah.
He'll be on the staff by the end of the week. There's no question. Mike Brown loves him.
He might be the next head coach.
Marvin. I mean, he probably could be. They had a plan before.
It's like Marvin's like brother from another mother.
Yeah.
Like, they look really similar.
When he was still with us, I was like, let's move Marv up to GM and let Hugh coach. I was backing.
You don't want Hugh as your GM. That I know.
No,
yeah.
Marv.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you guys should have done that when you let go of Zimmer and
Gruden.
Because one of those two guys probably won't.
There's been a lot of good coaches come through the Bengals, and Marvin's still there.
Well, and the thing is, like, I know people complain about Marv, but I wouldn't mind him being in a GM spot because he's given us good players.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, I really thought highly of Hugh Jackson. I hated when he left the Bengals. And maybe I misunderstood what his strengths were, but his strength is obviously not a head coach.
Seems like
I
think he's just a coordinator.
He's 0-2.
There's a lot of coaches like that. When they get the spotlight to be the head, then I don't think they know how to utilize being the head coach.
It's
better to stick to one thing.
Like there's some Ben Albright, who is kind of a insider.
He has sources.
He had sources, and he said he talked to a player, and a player at the Browns, and he compared Hugh Jackson to Michael Scott.
I was literally going to ask you about that. I saw that, and I was like, that's amazing.
Scott from The Office?
Yeah.
So that's the guy you want to charge your team.
I don't know. I don't know if he's just out of touch. I mean, he seems like he gets people, but I don't know if he knows how to manage everything. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what his issues are.
It seems like if you're going to Michael Scott comparison, 90% of the time he's a moron, but like 10% of the time he has his moments where he does the right thing.
That's probably what he was.
Well, I think he's just stuck to his ways, and his ways ain't really going to help the team out at all.
Did you see some of the Hugh coaching stats on Twitter today?
No.
Let me see if I can pull them up here.
They're insanely bad.
So one of them, I thought I bookmarked
him. He has like one of the worst head coaching records like in NFL history.
Yeah, so he has, there's 219 NFL coaches in the history of the league that have coached 40 games or more. He ranks 218th. And the only other coaching, the only other coach who lasted longer and had a worse winning percentage than he did was like Bud Bell, who like coached the Philadelphia Eagles in like 1960. And the only reason he wasn't fired is because he owned the team.
That's awesome.
But then there's a stat out there for Bill Belichick to have the same winning percentage as
Hugh
Jackson. He needed to lose 1,070 football games in a row to have the same percentage. Winning percentage.
1,070. Well, it didn't work out. No. And like when he left, like I said, I really liked him.
Well, there's a lot of Browns fans in Hugh we trust. There's a whole hashtag, you know, friggin'
well,
thing.
When we got him, he was the cream of the crop. I mean, he was the one we wanted. It was like the...
It worked out.
He was pretty soft for anybody. After.
Yeah. And that, see how that worked out. So,
how much of it is the Browns just being the Browns? Or is it just people that keep screwing it up? Because it keeps this, it's the same thing happens every time.
It was the last step of this whole rebuild thing.
That didn't, there's still the Sashi stuff too.
Yeah. I mean, because you have that 1-31 hanging over your head. So if this was his first year at 2-5-1, I mean, he would keep, I mean, it's this like is the first team he's had.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, to do him right. I mean, this was the first team we gave him, but yeah. Still, I mean, there's just plenty of opportunities out there that he kind of fumbled. He doesn't really know how to handle the media. He would kind of create a controversy when I think there wasn't.
Yeah.
I feel like having Hugh, like with Hugh as your guys' head coach, you guys were in a real like kind of limbo because I don't think that he was going to be your coach next year no matter what.
Yeah,
so my thing was like, why are you keeping him?
Yeah, it was weird. Just, I don't know what it been like.
It was a weird situation. That's why I wasn't shocked.
The
Todd Haley thing surprised me more than anything.
Yeah. It definitely probably set us a year back. Because it was a wasted year, essentially. And we could have had somebody else. And, you know, but it was also Jimmy Haslam, who liked Hugh Jackson, wanted to actually give him a fair shot. And
that, he did.
Yeah. So,
well, so they're, what, 2-5-1, you said?
2-5-1 with
playing Chiefs Kansas City
on Sunday.
Trap game, Browns win, calling it.
I will remember you called that.
I'm not going to say they'll win.
They'll win.
Well, the Bengals played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Arr.
And we'll get all into that after we take a little break.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. Whether you work in landscaping, farming, or construction, New Holland 200 Series skid steers and compact loaders are reliable workhorses that stand up to any challenge you face. We at K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery can show you the many New Holland advantages that allow you to work more efficiently, like the patented Super Boom technology that delivers maximum reach at full height, and the easy servicing and comfortable cab. Stop by K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery to see the New Holland skid steer and compact track loader. They're designed for hard work and demanding conditions.
Forge Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forge, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forge Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forge Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
What's for lunch? Wayne Street Market in downtown Fort Recovery is introducing to you Wayne Cafe. It's a new hotspot for lunch. Stop in or follow us on Facebook to see what's on the menu each day. We will always have our fried chicken, our hot soup bar, and our fresh salad bar, but we are bringing a whole new level to your lunch hour starting in March. We also will have in-house seating available so you don't have to rush around during your break. As always, thanks for choosing Wayne Street Market, downtown Fort Recovery, as your lunch destination.
The Fort Recovery
Recovery Boys basketball team is sponsoring a night at the races on Saturday, November 24th at the Legion. It's $20 to get into the event, and it'll be a fun-filled night with 12 horse races throughout the evening. Doors open at 6, with the first race at 7. There'll be food and drinks available, you can bet on the races, and you can actually own a horse for only $20, and you get to name your horse, or buy several horses. You can get the forms for buying a horse from any of the boys' high school players, or from Kate Judy, Teresa Leonards, or Gail Judy. Be sure to return your purchase forms in plenty of time before the horses are all sold. So come up with some clever horse names and buy your horses now before they're all gone. Name them after your kids. Name them after your favorite vacation place. Give them names with clever puns. Just keep it clean. Make your plans now to join the party. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it'll help out our boys' basketball team. A night at the races, Saturday evening, November 24th at the Legion. Wednesday night is Talk Night on Fort Recovery Radio, and we have another good one coming up this week. On Insight at 7, Jack will talk with Beth Butler, the CEO of the CA Group, formerly affiliated with Cheryl Ann. We'll find out all about what they do to provide services to people in our area with disabilities. Then on Sports Talk at 8, Bubba and Fee will talk with the group in charge of WOW, the Win on the Wabash Party coming up next summer. They'll explain how this super raffle works and what some of the nearly $250,000 worth of prizes are going to be. They're ready to give out the details that everybody's been wondering about ever since Win on the Wabash was announced. Talk Night this Wednesday, Insight at 7 with the CA Group, Sports Talk at 8 with the Win on the Wabash Group, giving us the details on their super raffle coming up next summer. If you miss a minute, you miss a lot. On Talk Night, every Wednesday on Fort Recovery Radio, nonstop Fort Recovery.
It's the practice squad. Call, follow along on Twitter at FR Practice Squad, or give us a call 419-516-0702. Bengals beat the Bucks 37-34, Garmin.
Pretty handedly in that first half.
Yeah. At one point, they're up 21-0.
It was 21-6 at halftime?
Yeah, 21-9.
21-9?
Yeah. Because they got like another field goal. Chandler Cantanzaro.
Yeah.
But he has a cool name.
Oh, that's what it would make.
Because I remember stopping by your house after the game and being like, I think I can take, I'm going to take a nap.
Yeah.
During this game.
Yeah, it was finally, I wanted one of those games where I didn't have to be on the edge of my seat, and I was hoping that they would just blow him out. And it looked like that's what it was going to be. The Bengals pretty much went right up and down the field in the first half, unattested. No defense stopping him. Joe Mixon running all over the place. The first half, he had 15 carries for 120 yards and, what, two touchdowns? And Andy Dalton was thrown to Tyler Boyd and A.J. Green, and we had a random tight end. One of the people who's left, one of the people who's still standing, caught like a 40-yard pass. And it just looked like they were going to roll.
It was all sunshine and roses.
And then with the help of Jameis Winston being horrible at quarterback.
Yep.
Mainly that's why they won the game. He had four picks, all overthrows pretty much.
Yeah. Like there wasn't any of them where I was like, you could maybe blame someone else for that.
Yeah. Like the one.
He threw the one to Preston Brown was one of the worst interceptions I'll see all year.
So it wasn't your defense being that good. It was just.
No.
They caught the ball. They were, you know, they caught opportunities. It. Actually, he had a chance to throw five. Early, well, because. Was it earlier? Who dropped that? Was that Sean Williams?
We're talking. Sean Williams dropped one, and then he got it back.
So you take away the four interceptions. Do you guys think you still win that game?
No, I think we lose.
I think we win.
I think if Ryan Fitzpatrick plays the whole game and we don't have four picks,
no, don't. You can't. No,
but I agree. It's hard to do that.
You don't live in a world of we don't live in a world of hypotheticals. Jameis Winston threw four interceptions.
Yeah, we do. Everybody lives in a world of hypotheticals.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a franchise record. I think it was 600 some yards.
So did he just look bad?
Who, Jameis?
Yeah.
He was completing. I mean, they were moving the ball. We weren't stopping them. I don't know how many times they even punted. I can't count. If someone could look that up, if how many times they punted.
Three.
Don't
fact check me.
Okay. But yeah, he would just kill their drives. And one was in their territory. They would have had a field goal at least. He had a pick six, so that gives us, you know, 6 points. He just kept shooting him in the foot. And then as soon as Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in, just right down the field. We couldn't stop anything, couldn't stop the run, couldn't stop pass. And they scored a quick, I think it was two touchdowns and a field goal in the second half and a two-point conversion, and we went three and out five times in a row. So after moving the ball at will, we couldn't even get a first down in the second half. So I don't know why the Bengals keep doing this. It's been a thing all year where it's like they're hot, they can't be stopped, and then they just go on these horrible cold streaks.
I don't know. How often has that happened?
Yeah. That game, not Atlanta.
Because the exact opposite, you could make an argument for the Miami game.
Yes. We had two defensive touchdowns? Or no.
We scored 24 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Some of them were defensive.
Were two defensive touchdowns.
Doesn't count, don't they?
Yeah, they count, but it's not the offense. And I don't know. It's just, it seems like they...
It's frustrating, but our quarterback still is third in the NFL in touchdown passes, so it's not like it's terrible. And Marvin's a moron because he decided to get all grumpy at Joe Mixon because he dropped the one-handed catch, which was stupid.
Yeah.
But that's like, you got a running back here who's averaging like 7 yards a carry. He's got like over 100 yards rushing in the first half. Then you decided to go grumpy old man in the second half for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, and they did. He had what would have been probably who knows. He was on the flat. He could have had a first down, maybe. I don't think he would have because there's people coming down.
He does it all the time, and I wish he would stop.
And he just tried to mitt it with one hand, and he dropped it, and then he got benched. But yeah, the second half, I think he had maybe 5 yards on 10 carries, something like that.
You're stupid.
They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't throw the ball until give it to Andy Dalton and AJ Green.
It was a minute some left.
Until it mattered.
Boom, boom, boom.
Right down the field.
Right down. And then it was right in field goal, and then it was over.
Yeah.
It's like, so they struggled all that to just drive right down the field.
Yep. Yep. And so the win's a win. Like, can't complain. They won the game. If they lose that game, the sky is falling today. I think people would want Marvin fired. I think already they do, but I think
your fan base is the most awkward fan base I've ever been around.
They had the lowest attendance since 2011 at that game.
Man, the time you guys were undefeated, it was first six games,
15. Yeah.
Yeah.
2015.
And you couldn't even fill the stadium. And I think I was at one of those games with you guys and the people just tailgating, they're still crying about something. They wanted Andy Dalton gone then or whatever, or something like that. Then they kind of changed their mind. Then they're going after Marvin needs to leave. And
this season, like every other season, is like every season for the Bengals. If they don't win a playoff game, it's the same story. It's like Groundhog Day. I guess Browns fans say the same thing, but that's why the fan base is the way that they are. I don't think I share their sentiment because I sit there and watch every game and I'm very negative, but I wouldn't say I'm that pessimistic. You know, it's just they think, yeah, you're right. I am. I can't argue with you. Whatever. But until they get it done, I mean, the same thing this year. They're going to probably win 10 games. They're going to beat the teams that are bad. They're going to lose to the good teams and we'll play a good team in the playoffs. And who knows what's going to happen, but I think I know what's going to happen, that they're going to lose in the first round.
And then where do you go?
And then Mike Brown rehires Marvin because I don't know if they make money or not, but they won a playoffs. They did what they're supposed to do. They're better than most teams and you just stay the same. And we have Andy Dalton, who's good. And he's been really good this year. This has been probably his best year. I can't even say he's been bad. He's been really good. Joe Mixon's awesome. I don't know. It's just, they still look as good as they looked for the first couple of weeks. They still look like the same team I've seen for a long time. Like a team that's good, but like if they're playing a good team. Look who they lost to this year. They lost to the Panthers, who are good. Mm-hmm. They're going to make the playoffs. Lost to the Chiefs. They're undefeated. And they lost to the Steelers, who are probably going to win the division.
Will the Panthers really make it, though?
Lost a game? I thought they're undefeated.
Patriots.
Yeah. They did. You're right.
I think Carolina will make the playoffs.
So they lost. I mean, that's typically what they do.
Division.
They will beat the teams they're supposed to beat, and they play like the Patriots, or they play the Chiefs, or they play the Steelers, and they're going to lose. And they're just right there. They're right around a 6-5 seed, probably a wild card. I don't know. Mark it down. See if I'm right. I hope they win the division because I got money on that. That'd be awesome. But I just, the Steelers are getting right. The Steelers are looking like the Steelers now. Like just stupid Big Ben running around, not getting tackled, throwing it to Antonio Brown for 50-yard touchdowns. And James Conner's breaking a million tackles. And I don't know. You guys tell me what you think. I feel like I've been rambling.
No, it was a good rant. It was a good rant because, like, I was trying to the whole time. I'm trying to think of something that I'm going to say to argue with you. But in reality, it is kind of the same thing.
Yeah, they're probably going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to be a wild card. They're probably going to play the Steelers and or the Chiefs or, you know, that three seed.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to get beat. So there you go.
Where do you go from there?
You have to be the fourth seed to play Chiefs because it'll probably be number one.
You can rehire, you can keep Marvin, and then we keep doing that. Or you can fire him and find somebody that gets us better, but we won't.
They ain't going to fire him midseason.
It's fun to win like 10 games.
Yeah.
I mean, I have fun with it until they crush my soul.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's only
two games is fun.
Too. There is always a chance. I mean, that's the thing. Like, which I know, like, not to bring up arguments, but people, whenever we argue about the Bengals, it's always like, oh, you guys are stuck in, like, purgatory.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, then the Browns, if we're purgatory, then they're just trapped in hell.
You know, I mean, it's
worse. You say the same thing about it. Like,
I mean, I'm just saying, like, you want to be like, people be like, oh, I'd rather be in the Browns situation than the Bengals. Like, no.
I mean, you're tied to something. Like, we're not tied to anything.
Yeah. Is that good? That's terrible. You guys are like so. Well, it's so
essentially,
flimsy.
It gets us the same results. So
but those are terrible results. Like you guys always talk about how we have like, oh, I'd rather be in the Browns position because we get all these draft picks. Well, where are all those draft picks at?
Well, they're on the field.
Are they? Because like, how many of them are gone?
Yeah. So
You lose all. You lose all those games. You get all those first round draft picks. Where are all those first round draft picks at? I will always.
Every draft pick that we have because of us failing the last 2 years is still on. I mean, they're good so far.
True. You guys have some young talent now.
Yeah. I mean, the last 8 years have been bad. But
yeah, that's
the
what
last
I'm saying. If
years,
I'm comparing the Bengals, quote unquote, purgatory to the Browns, quote unquote, purgatory, which I would say is hell.
Yeah.
Because it's, I mean, it's,
I
like,
think one I, is worse. I think I the would, Browns is worse.
It is. And I don't even think it's an argument because granted, I have a horrible track record of just always losing in the playoffs. Yeah. But I would rather be in the playoffs than not be in the playoffs. You have a shot.
No, but it's like, what do you, if you lose again, what do you do?
I will say, well, okay, so this year the injuries have been bad. And I think that's why they looked so world beating
before in the past.
The first couple weeks, because we had Eifert. I mean, like our offense was awesome, but our defense this year has been surprisingly bad.
Yeah,
like, and I don't think
you read that stat earlier about when we were at your house about the Bengals, like the linebackers. That is the Achilles heel of the entire team.
So their defense, unless they can figure out some way to stop the bleeding, like they're giving up. I mean, 34 points. I don't know what they're giving up a game.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I think, like you said, I think we could probably get like 9-10 wins. We'll probably get into the playoffs, but we're going to get exposed.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. You look at
what we got exposed last week by the Chiefs.
Right. But I mean, like, you look at those other teams that are going to make the playoffs. I don't really know, like, what can you obviously point at to expose that team?
Yeah.
Like, I think if we're in the playoffs, you look at all the playoff teams, because with the way the linebackers are, you can point at one thing easily and be like, that's how you beat the Bengals.
Yeah, I agree.
Your tight end. If you have a good tight end, you beat the Bengals.
You don't even need a good tight end. You need a warm body.
If I'm going to answer Jordan's question, that, I mean, this is the 8 seasons of the Dalton era.
It's 31 today.
Yeah. His birthday.
Happy birthday, Andy Dalton.
Happy birthday.
I'm sure you're listening.
But, I mean, I don't remember what Marvin's contract was.
2 years.
2 years. So he'll probably be there next year. But I say, whatever, even if the Bengals...
the season blows up.
If the Bengals make the playoffs, and even if they win a playoff game, like, it's... Even if, like, they make the AFC Championship, I don't care. That's not going to happen. But we have to draft his replacement.
Yeah.
We have to draft Dalton's replacement.
And some linebackers.
Yeah.
And then we'll win the Super Bowl.
Yes. Like, see, I don't know who's in there.
Who's doing it. It's that... We know we're bad and what we have to get better. It's just we're not good at it. But you guys don't know, okay, is this the right time? Do we take the chance and move on from Dalton, who's good, but maybe holding us back? Or do we move on from Marvin, who is good, but maybe holding us back?
Like, so that's the thing. Like, those
that's
two.
That's the purgatory we're talking about. Not that.
No, I understand.
Obviously, we're stuck in the bottom of the league.
Right. And that's only my argument. I don't mean to bring that up. I'm just saying.
Oh, like, don't you?
I don't. Because, like, it gets me so frustrated when people say that. Well, I would much rather be in a Bengals. Like, even if I wasn't a Bengals fan, if you're like, would you rather be Browns or Bengals? Like, I'd rather be the Bengals. Because I could not stand watching, like, one win over two seasons.
Yeah.
But those wins are so good, dude.
It's worth it. Good. Like, literally, I mean, yeah, going back, like, to your guys' first win, like, people are crying. Could you imagine, like, a win doing that? Like,
Bengals win a playoff game, I'll cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you rather? Would you rather?
Oh. Would you rather? We got one.
Peppered it in.
We got a would you rather.
Would you rather fairy stop by.
Would you rather? Would you rather?
All right, we got it.
Who voiced that? That's beautiful.
That's great. All right. So, would you rather? This is like not a bad would you rather. It's like a good would you rather.
Oh.
Sweet.
Yeah.
They're all good, aren't they?
No, sometimes.
Well, I mean, this is like.
Oh, like the good both, for both choices
the
are
results.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. So, would you rather be able to choose your team's next two first round picks, or would you rather be yourself but allowed to play in little league like football and basketball games?
Like right now?
Yeah. Like you're just allowed to, like, oh yeah, David is 14, but you're yourself now.
Kind of like
but,
Ben Swarmers when they yeah, he hands him that I am 10, you know, the
but nobody yeah, knows.
It's just accepted.
Like everyone's cool with it?
Yeah.
Okay, by far that. I have had so little athletic success in my life. Like, I was always the slowest person on the team. You know, I think I would definitely, I still wouldn't be good. I would still be like on the bench.
I don't know if I could live with myself paralyzing little kids
going at the end of the game when you guys are down
yeah,
like 30.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh,
David, get in there.
I mean, okay. I mean, that's obviously the funny answer.
Yeah,
I mean that would be fun. But how much is that going to get you? How many times are you going to block a shot in a kid's face?
Man, yeah,
before it stops,
that feels so good.
All that resentment from
imagine
years.
Playing junior high football now. Like,
just well, I think it would finally feel what it feels like to be good.
Yeah.
At sports.
Well, that's what I'm missing out on.
But then, like smoking, like just destroying a like little kid. Wouldn't feel that good.
I like don't know. You pull on spirit kid, then he's not getting up. He's not even moving. You're like, oh. So, okay, but so if I get the draft picks for my team, like, do I get, I can pick, like, it's basically like 1 and 2. Is that what you're saying?
No, just the first round picks the next 2 years. So you have 2 picks.
So whatever the Bengals finish at, it's like I'm 18
through 24 or whatever they always get. The stupid picks.
I think I'm taking.
They just label that. Okay, we're in the stupid pick area.
I think I'm taking the picks.
I'm taking the picks too.
I care more about the Bengals than I care about stiff arming a kid to the ground.
You're a better man than I am.
Well, no, what I'm saying is like that would be like cool for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd do.
I mean.
Well, you have to give an answer.
I would probably choose. I don't know. Probably the draft picks if like actually had to do it. But man. Like just playing like junior high basketball right now would be so fun.
True,
but yeah, I would be like a center, but they wouldn't question me at all.
Yeah,
they would be like, yeah, that looks right.
I would still, they'd make me play line or something. I don't know.
Besides, you'd have a full fledged beard.
Yeah, you're a left tackle.
Yeah, I'm more serviceable at other positions, coach. Go sit the bench.
Okay, you'd break your foot in your first like play.
Yeah. Something would go horribly wrong.
Yeah,
there's no doubt. So, Philly, what happened to the Titans this weekend?
They had a bye, cool. So that was a good thing. So, I just sat around and watched football all weekend. Watched the Browns, a little bit of Browns, a little bit of the Bengals.
Your son came over to our house. Yes, he was a Ninja Turtle.
We went trick-or-treating. That was a blast, I tell you what.
Classic.
A lot of fun.
Was it fun?
Since people were feeding me beer where we stopped at, yeah, it was all right. So
that's why you came to my house.
We were actually waiting to meet up with the rest of our family, so which was at your neighbor's house, pretty much.
Yeah.
So.
Whose idea was a Ninja Turtle, and does he like Ninja Turtles?
And which Ninja Turtle was he? Because I didn't see him.
He was Leonardo.
Nice.
Yeah. And
the leader.
I don't
is he
think,
the leader? Yes, he's the leader.
I don't think he even knows.
I said, no, yeah.
I don't think he even knows what a Ninja Turtle is. We went to Walmart the week before and we found 2 costumes. It was a Ninja Turtle one and the other one was like, I want to say like Iron Man or like Captain America, but it had a mask that went over his whole face. Mm. And I knew he wouldn't like that. And
you gotta go to Goodwill, man. They have the best.
And this one was just costumes. A hat. So I was like, let's just go with the Ninja Turtle. And it actually worked out pretty cool. He looked.
What is everyone's thought on the trick-or-treaters who have a little baby in a stroller and go up? and the baby can't even eat candy.
Yeah, let's talk about trick-or-treating pet peeves.
Yeah.
No, the biggest one I got is the kid's wearing a full-fledged, just a Carhartt jacket, jeans, and he's got a scary mask on, trick-or-treat. I'd be like, no, get the hell out of here.
I had a kid with the just a hat that had a C on it and a glove.
Yeah, I saw a kid.
He had, like, jeans and a sweatshirt on.
I saw a kid walking around with his dad who just had a hoodie and sweatpants and a green bucket.
Yeah, there was
none of these kids try anymore. They just put a mask on and like, oh, it's good for your candy. Yeah. Like, when we trick-or-treated, when we were kids, we were awesome.
Yeah.
Like
we did it right back in our day.
Everybody was like walking around town. We were all dressed up.
Is it just our imagination that we looked good?
I'm not saying we looked good, but we at least had a full outfit on.
And they didn't even say trick-or-treat. They just kind of go up to the house and they're like, look at me.
I don't know if it's like...
throw it at their face.
Get out of here.
Adults are taking Halloween much more seriously than
I think that's always how it's been.
In what way?
Well, like, we go, I mean, now everything has to be party, right?
So yeah, you, like, go to a bar dressed up
and they put so much time into having like a cool costume, which I can't complain because I do the same thing.
If I were invited to one?
An adult.
But adults take it way more seriously than kids do.
Yeah. Just look at David and Tori's engagement party. It was at Halloween.
Yeah.
We had a Halloween party at Tori's mom and dad's house.
Yeah.
And Jordan dressed up as Caitlyn Jenner. Yeah, Caitlyn Jenner. So, like,
he was super, super brave.
Yeah, so, like, he put a lot more thought into it than what me and my wife did.
You were good looking.
I was kind of, good looking.
Those pants were nice and tight.
So I don't know. I just,
you actually had me confused if a real girl wouldn't have late at night when I had a little too much to drink.
Yeah. It was, I don't know. I couldn't help but sit there and like get mad and just be like, this isn't right. But, it wasn't good weather. It was like windy. It was cold.
It rained.
But when you were a kid, because when we stopped over at your house,
I was a wimp and I was too afraid to go out.
Your mother-in-law was very big on asking the kids like if they would say trick or treat.
Yes.
Which I think she's right.
I agree.
It's really frustrating watching a kid open the door, just hold their bag and look at you like, put it in the bag. Yeah. Like, they're robbing you.
Yeah.
But he's deaf.
Yeah.
Can't talk.
No, I think she's totally right to do that.
Yeah.
Or at least say thanks. Like,
because I feel like I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always said trick or treat.
Well, that's the whole point.
That's why it's called trick or treating.
Kids these days, man.
I know.
These millennial 5-year olds.
Are we millennials?
Yes, we are.
We're technically.
We are a part of that age.
I think it's to 89, right?
Yeah. I think it's like.
So
right
we're the oldest, the wisest millennials.
Millennials.
Okay. Well, so yeah, we can make fun of the younger. What's the current generation?
No, we're the oldest, Jordan.
We're the oldest.
It started at 89.
I got confused.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, trick or treating. So,
I think it's a good topic of discussion.
Yeah.
I found it very interesting sitting at your house and watching kids just open, like not even say trick or treat, just hold your bag out.
Yeah.
Like it's a robbery at gunpoint.
That would have been a good Schmidt talking, Jordan.
That would have been.
If I would have thought
kids
about
these
that
days, I'm all right.
Dropping $100 bills.
Kids these days. Yeah. Just not being respectful. So, well, we're going to take a little break. When we get back, we're going to talk about the rest of the NFL and talk about our successful pick 'em from last week.
Oh, yeah.
Be right back.
So my heater wasn't heating. My friend Tom said I should switch to gas, but Larry suggested I go with a dual fuel furnace. Then Martin said I should use heat from the ground. Geothermally called it. Then my wife said, just call Reasoner. Sure enough, Reasoner Energy had them all. Train high efficiency dual fuel heat pumps, furnaces, and an amazing geothermal heat pump. Reasoner took a look at our place, and the next thing you know, we're all cozy and warm. Go ahead and talk to your friends, but make sure you also talk to my friends at Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Lots of people are thinking about Halloween and protecting their little ghosts and goblins. At Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we're thinking about protecting you and your little ghosts and goblins every day. If you have questions about your insurance protection, let us show you how we can help you prepare for the risks you face every day. You won't get any tricks, but you might find some treats. We've got something for everyone at Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, your local Ohio Mutual Insurance Group agency. Call 888-875-4181.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canoe from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. For a tractor with big chore versatility and power, ask us at K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery about the 140 to 165 horsepower T7 series tractors from New Holland. They're the all-around workhorse you need for loading, haymaking, mixing feed, and spreading manure. They offer choice of transmissions and unmatched versatility to power implements on front or back. Plus, you work your best in the quiet comfort of a Horizon cab. See us at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today.
Election Day is coming up on Tuesday, November 6th, and once again, the Trinity Lutheran Church will be having their all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper. They'll be serving from 4 to 7 p.m., and carryouts will be available. The meal includes spaghetti, breadsticks, salad, dessert, and drinks. You can just stop by for your all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper, or you can get tickets ahead of time from any Trinity Lutheran Church member or at Fort Fitness. Tickets are only $6, and for kids 10 and under, tickets are only $5, and all proceeds will go to their local Friends in Need Fund. Don't miss the Trinity Lutheran's annual Election Day all-you-can-eat spaghetti supper from 4 to 7 on Tuesday, November 6th. The Fort Recovery Local Schools will be hosting a Veterans Day program on Monday, November 12th in the elementary middle school auditoria. The program will begin with breakfast being served at 9 a.m. and closing remarks around 10:45 a.m. The program will consist of performances by the third grade class, along with some individual high school band and choir performances, as well as student speeches and a video production. All veterans, senior citizens, and their spouses are welcome to attend. Please call Sarah Mormon at the elementary school office at 375-2768 by Friday, November 2nd, and make your reservation so they'll know how many people to plan for. All veterans and senior citizens are invited to attend. If you know some local veterans and senior citizens, be sure to let them know about the Veterans Day program in the auditoria at the elementary school on Monday, November 12th from 9 to 10:45 a.m.
Twitter at FR Practice Squad, or give us a call 419-516-0702. Do we have any polls last week, guys?
We did a bunch of would you rathers, I think. We polled.
Oh, yes. I have to go find those. But while I did, what do you guys think about Fitzmagic?
And Famous Jameis.
So, yeah, Fitzmagic is back on, right?
Yes. Correct. Starting week 9.
Are they on bye?
No, they're not.
Oh, sorry. Okay,
their bye's passed.
Yeah,
they were like
they are. Seems. No, they came out and said that Fitzpatrick will start week 9. Okay, I'm gonna step on your point and I'm gonna update the polls real quick.
I had no point, so thank you.
Would you rather sound like Mike Tyson or go one round with Mike Tyson? 65% would rather go one round with Mike Tyson.
Ooh, and that was like what, like a 500,000 votes?
17.
You got a lot of guys think they can handle it.
So a lot of people think they can go one round with Mike, Iron Mike Tyson.
See, like, when we were doing that poll, I was like, I think I could go around. Not like go around. I think I would not die. That's basically what I was saying.
And then you wouldn't have to
Well, you just talked to 17 other people thinking that they could fight Mike Tyson right now.
Yeah. And then our other poll with 20 votes.
20,000.
Would you rather get a paper cut or get your arm blown off?
And everybody went paper cut, I bet.
No. 60% paper cut. 40%.
Not enough.
Would rather get their arm blown off.
Yeah, but what's 40?
I don't know. I'm not good at math. Is that 8?
40 out of what?
Oh, 20 people.
Oh. Yeah.
That'd be 8 people.
Hey, yeah. I'll take that. I was one of them. But anyway. So, those are our poll updates sponsored by nobody.
I like how you say you'll take that, like you're still on that
side. I'm not. I'm going to die on that hill. I was just talking about the initial shock.
Right. So, I know.
It's a dumb point. I should have never made it. So, Ryan Fitzpatrick is starting, and chances are he'll probably get benched another week, right? Because that's normally how it goes with him. Jordan, you were looking at something with disgust.
Well, I was looking at my fantasy. We give a point for a pass defensed.
Oh, you're very mad about Tremaine Edmonds, aren't you?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But anyway.
You looked very angry.
Are you putting the commissioner on blast here on national radio?
I think the commissioner needs to call in and defend his rules.
I'm only upset because it affects me.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
Commish, call in 419-516-0702.
I don't mind it.
If
I knew about it before.
We're a very democratic league. Table it and bring it up in August.
I don't care about in August. I'm done with it. I'm over it.
Are you resigning from the league for this?
No, I'm saying I'm done. I'm going to forget about it.
And take the L?
Yeah, I'm going to take the L. Nice. I didn't know that going into today, so I was just rooting
for no tackles.
Less than three sack, or three, yeah.
How many tackles did he have already?
One tackle. And then he had a point. I was like, how did he get that point? He had a pass defense. Anyway, what were we talking about?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Let's talk about Fitzmagic. We were acting like we cared about Fitzmagic.
Well,
James,
Fitzmagic always ends in a loss. Yeah. With like three interceptions.
I mean, it'll be fun, and he'll like people will be like, "Oh, look at his beard," and they're all having fun together. And then I'll have a game where he throws like four interceptions, and they're like, "Okay, what do we do?" And then that's their whole season.
That beard with the chin strap, like halfway up the beard, is so funny.
Some of this is because Jameis is on year four of his contract.
Yeah,
and if he gets hurt the rest of the season,
they have to pick him up.
They have to pick him up. So this is what
they already signed. They already picked up his fifth year, though.
The Jaguars did with Blake Bortles. Someone was saying today, and I was trying to follow.
They were talking about
something with his contract.
Well, they were talking about that during the game.
I was going to say, I know before the season they picked up Jameis's fifth year before the Uber driver incident. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Nate Ruinkamp texted me, and he made kind of a good point about the Browns. He says, do people expect the Browns to do better than they have? They lost against the Chargers, Saints, Steelers twice, Baltimore, and most likely the Chiefs. They have lost to some really good teams.
I know. Our schedule from here on out, basically going into the year, was the top five strength and schedule.
See, I didn't realize that.
From here on, it's the second hardest schedule of the league.
Really?
Yeah. So we have been, again, screwed. Let's take his point.
Who's got the hardest?
But also, I have no idea.
So you're saying that the NFL is colluding against
it's not like we played
collusion, man.
Teams that we should have ran over. Again, we should have beat the Raiders, who are probably at the bottom of the league.
Yeah,
should have beat the Raiders. Probably
we
Tampa.
Should have beat Tampa Bay.
Probably, yeah. Probably Nolls.
And we did beat the Jets, but still.
At least we beat those Jets.
Yeah, and we beat
who else
the
beat?
Ravens. I think they beat the Ravens.
Yeah, beat the Ravens.
Poor Ravens.
So, I think really the only like game where I think we play Denver Broncos that will be somewhat close.
Yeah. At Denver or at Cleveland?
I don't know.
Oh, see, I was talking myself into Bengals 10 wins earlier. And we
took the over on the five, and that's
if we beat the Browns once, we beat the Broncos and we beat the Raiders. We already have 8 wins. And then we just need to either win. We play the Chargers, Saints, Steelers twice.
After the bye, we got Saints, Ravens, Browns, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders, the Browns, and then the Steelers.
So you need to go.
What if you guys lost
2 out of the other 5 to win 10 games, which is possible.
Yeah.
And that probably gets you a 6 seed, and then you probably lose to the Steelers.
And then you get a really sweet, like 22nd overall pick in the draft.
Yeah. That's like what's going to happen.
That is the purgatory that I will admit that is not fun.
We won money this week, guys.
Did we?
Yeah.
Well, not if we parlayed our picks.
Oh, that's true. I didn't.
If we beat individually.
Yeah. I'm going to make a parlay.
He stopped parlaying because I'm a horrible picker.
So, yeah, it's a smart move. So, I was negative, and I picked the Buccaneers to cover against the Bengals.
Which I was going
to
make fun of you in the first half, which I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, and they were not for the longest time, but they ended up only losing by 3, so I won that bet. Jordan, you took the Eagles in London?
I took the Eagles in London. I think they were, what were they, -2.5?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just said, yeah, I have no idea.
I think it was.
You won that one. Garmin, who'd you take?
I took the Bears.
Bears. Tariq Cohen's good.
Yeah.
That's a just random point.
But. Well, it was weird because he was really bad at the beginning of the season, and then they were like, Jordan Howard can't catch the ball.
Yeah. Philly, and then Philly lost us the week. Defend your pick, Philly.
Huh? I didn't have a reason why I picked it. I was like,
he did not pick it. The Seahawks, looking like the Seahawks are way better than I thought.
Yeah.
They beat the Detroit Lions. But so that makes us 3-1 last week. So
we're getting super close to getting that parlay.
We know what we're talking about. Listen to us. So do we know our picks for this week? Are you guys looking now?
I do.
I know my pick.
Okay, so Garmin, you knew your pick like 3 hours ago, or it was probably like 1 hour ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start with you.
Taking Hotlanta against Washington at 1.5.
Why is it Hotlanta?
Because it's hot down there.
Yeah.
Is that the only reason, or is it like the club's hot down
Smuggy.
There?
Smuggy.
like when they play like crunk music.
It's really you would think we would know, right?
Maybe it's both.
I think there's something other to just, because there's hotter places than Atlanta.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been to Atlanta.
But you don't call it like hot. I don't know, Tallahassee.
Everybody go around, keep doing their picks.
Hot-a-hassee.
Cool. I will dig into this.
Who coined it? Was the Lil Jon?
Yeah,
sure Usher.
Usher.
There's a whole like Atlanta.
T.I.
Like early, yeah, T.I.
Rubber Band Man?
Yes, Rubber Band Man.
Bird Man.
You don't know me. Oh, yeah, that was fire. All right, you're up.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Houston. They are +2.5 at Denver. Houston's on a 5-game win streak right now. And Denver, I have no faith in.
You mean you don't think Case Keenum was a great offseason signing for the Denver Broncos?
No. And what I when I thought Deshaun Watson was done, he's not done. So he's back. He's officially back.
They played some pretty good teams. I will give him that.
He had ACL surgery. And now he's just got his footing under him. He's making competent throws, even though they did lose Will Fuller. Who scored 25 points this week, but they did lose Will Fuller up for the year. Who's one of those who'll get like a long touchdown pass?
Yes.
And that's about it.
Do you guys want the Urban Dictionary definition of Hotlanta?
More than anything.
Okay. The hot in Hotlanta refers to the many wonderful things to do in Atlanta, especially the sexy nightlife Atlanta is famous for. To a lesser degree, it is also refers to the hot summer temperatures common to Atlanta.
So it is both.
That is not the Urban Dictionary thing I was expecting.
Yeah.
Thought it would be something.
So it's like the clubs and like the, and then it's also the temps. Yeah. So it's both.
Sexy nightlife, David.
Okay. Does it use it in a sentence?
No, it doesn't, which is why I thought I would Urban Dictionary Hotlanta, and I wouldn't be able to read it on the radio, but that was a very bland definition.
Philly, do you have your pick yet?
No.
Okay. While you're looking, I will take...
It's a tough week, I think.
Again, I'm going to continue my Ravens hate. Yeah. I'm going to take Steelers over the Ravens. Steelers are 2.5-point underdogs in Baltimore. Ravens are going to be desperate, and I'll be rooting for the Ravens in that game, but I just think the Steelers are figuring it out, and I think that the Ravens have a tendency to just not play well sometimes.
I hate it when the Steelers figure it out.
So, and the Steelers figured it out, man. They had some problems, but they figured
it out. They always do.
So I'm going to take Pittsburgh. Philly, do you want us to come back to you? Or
no, I'm going to go with New Orleans,
-0.5.
NOLA.
Over the Rams.
They're going to
basically a pick.
Yeah, they're going to beat the Rams.
I feel like they're going to beat them.
Woo. Defend your pick, Philly.
I don't know. Rams good. Saints good.
Yeah. It's New Orleans
kind of better.
Coin toss.
Is that New Orleans? I feel like New Orleans is playing good ball. That's a good game. The Rams got to lose one game here soon. So why not make it this week?
We were talking earlier. We think that should be the Monday night game.
Should be.
Versus Dallas and Tennessee.
No, you're exactly right.
Should be.
Who wouldn't want to watch like a 6-3 game?
It's not going to be 6-3. It's probably going to be 40-3 Dallas. Allie sent me another definition of Hotlanta.
I hope hers is better.
The name that idiots who don't live in Georgia call the city of Atlanta. Nobody that actually lives in Atlanta says this.
That's probably a truer definition.
The definition of what four white dudes in Ohio call Atlanta.
Yeah. They went down.
Like, who do they call it? Hotlanta.
They like the nightlife. Like, who are we going to call Hotlanta? John. So, yeah, I live in Norcross, right outside of Atlanta. Idiot. Damn fool. You live in a Hotlanta? John, please go die right away. So, funny. There is the definition of Hotlanta. Thank goodness we figured that out.
God bless, Allie. God bless.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Allison.
Would you rather?
Good timing.
Did you have anything?
No, I was lost. Fam.
I should have just let you swim for a little bit.
Yeah, I was gone.
Throw him a life raft.
Thank you.
All right. Would you rather...
Definitely.
...have to give Jameis Winston's EDNW speech to your coworkers every Monday? Word for word, motion for motion, or actually go in a grocery store and try to steal crab legs.
Can we do YouTube sound of Jameis Winston's EW speech?
No.
That's illegal?
Okay. It's not illegal.
You just don't want to do it.
Can't do it. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Do you understand how much technicality that takes to pull that
I
off?
I can just see me giving my employees the EW speech, and I would rather try and steal crab legs.
I would rather steal crab legs because
Monday. Now this is like, okay, don't think about this as a hypothetical because it's not. You actually have to go in and steal crab legs.
Yeah, that's going to be hard because that's
do they have crab legs at the IGA?
It's usually behind like the counter.
I don't know.
No, they don't. It's usually behind like the counter.
Nah, they got, you can get them at Walmart, like the big freezer section. Just wear a hoodie.
Did he steal crab legs?
Get my biggest hoodie.
I think he walked in and the only thing he brought out, I don't think he was trying to hide it. He was.
Yeah, the security cam footage seemed like he was just like, he walked out and he ordered.
What's the thinking that he thought he was like so famous that no one was going to say anything?
There was no thinking.
Quarterback of FSU, man.
His what a weird thing to steal.
His literal, I think he actually said that he didn't realize.
So you're saying you got to steal crab legs once, then you got to give the speech every Monday?
Yeah, how often do I got to steal crab legs?
Just once.
Oh, I totally
successfully.
100% do that.
I'm doing crab legs because I don't think I crab legs.
I got to get up too early in the morning on Mondays. I could not. I don't have the energy. I don't know if I'd, my heart would not be in the speech.
What about if you just had to give it one time?
One time? I'd do the speech then.
I think I'd still do crab legs because then if you steal the crab legs, then you got crab legs.
Yeah, but I don't want to go to jail because I'm stealing crab legs.
Do we get caught stealing the crab legs?
It's
up to you.
What if we're really good at, like.
I mean, if you're Daniel Ocean, then you won't get caught.
Danny Ocean.
Yeah.
Stealing crab legs for Danny Ocean, that would be like such a small.
See, he would invest like $100,000 to get those crab legs.
I'm not a criminal.
Get a tiny guy that can do a backflip.
Four people.
Now, because there's too much benefits to the crab legs because you get the crab legs too. And if you do the speech, then your coworkers constantly talk about you behind your back.
I work with coworkers that make fun of me anyways. So it doesn't matter.
Give your W speech today, David.
If I remember the W speech, he makes a W with his fingers.
He's like, we're going to eat W's.
Kind of like the West Side sign, right?
Yeah, but and then he literally proceeds to eat his hands.
He's just like licking his fingers and biting on them. And he's not even saying anything at the time. He's like, you know what that is? It's a W.
Yeah, he goes, stupid. Do you know what this is?
Yeah.
This is a W.
It's hard to see the players' faces because they have helmets on, but I could imagine.
Well, what was his other speech that was freaking garbage too? Like before that, he had another speech that was horrible.
I mean, that's going to go down as one of the worst like forever. He'll be out of the league and people will still be talking about that.
True. That's pretty epic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would still do the crab legs.
So. Definitely crab legs.
Well, our draft 10.0 tonight is favorite TV scenes. So favorite scenes in a TV show. We'd love to.
Heather, would you rather? Would you rather?
Still more.
Yep. Got another one.
Would you rather? Would you rather?
Would you rather?
All right.
Hanging out. Would you rather? Okay, would you rather miss the last second shot? We'll just say it's like a regular season. It's not playoffs. It's not a huge game. But we're playing basketball. We'll say it's CYO.
CYO, like...
Actually, let's say high school. Let's put some stakes on it. It's a big, intense high school basketball
game. There's more than four people in the
crowd. Would you rather hit the last second shot or, I guess, hit the last second shot and then immediately throw up, like, on the floor... Or miss the last second shot.
Make.
You would still want to just throw up.
Like as your teammates mob you, you're just like, oh.
You make it and you immediately like just throw up. So everyone in the whole stadium is just like watching you throw up.
Yeah, then you just lie and you said you had the flu and you're like Michael Jordan.
I just don't want to like puke in front of like that.
So is this whole, would you rather just your phobia of throwing up in front of people.
Yeah, it's like the dreams. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh, that'd be a good one.
I'm making that shot and I'm puking everywhere and still partying.
Now, like, I've missed so many shots. I just missed another one.
Yeah, I think.
You guys would all make it.
That's going to be in the paper too. Like, it'll be like, Fort Recovery Indians went on last second shot by Garmin. And then it's me like on the ground, like just vomit all over the court. Like,
that's fine.
Yeah. Have you ever seen those?
I still made it that night.
Like puke on air.
No.
You haven't seen those?
Is that like a YouTube compilation?
Yeah. They'll like, it'll be like the first time on air and they'll like freeze up and they just like throw up.
Well, now I know what I'm doing before I go to bed.
Yeah. I feel awkward just watching them, but okay, I guess I'm the only one.
So, yeah, our draft 10.0 is favorite show scenes, TV show scenes. Let us know yours on Twitter or call us 419-516-0702, and we'll be right back with the draft 10.0.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Casserole Thursday, and on Friday you can choose from our soup and salad bar or our famous half-pound hand-patted cheeseburger. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented with our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
My plan was to stay for 5 years. I would get my experience, then I would move on and do bigger and better things.
At Cooper Farms, we're growing, and we want you to grow with us.
5 years came and went, and I really had no reason to leave. I've been here 30 years. I'm the accounting manager, and I don't have a big accounting background. It's just they've seen me grow over the years.
To see our open hourly and management positions, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Jerry Kopp of Kopp Pharmacy, a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy. On Saturday, November 24th, from 9 to 4 p.m., we want to celebrate Small Business Saturday with you. Kopp Pharmacy in Fort Recovery will have 20% off Melissa and Doug toys, holiday decor, vitamins and supplements, and more. Plus, everyone will receive a $5 gift certificate for every $25 spent during Small Business Saturday at Kopp Pharmacy. Mark your calendars for November 24th, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and get ready to shop small with us. Kopp Pharmacy Health Mart. Caring for you and about you.
The 2018 general election is coming up on Tuesday, November 6th. Voters in the village of Fort Recovery and the voters in Gibson and Recovery Townships will all vote at the Fort Recovery American Legion. The polls will be open from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. and early voting is available to all eligible voters with no need to give a reason. Early voting can be done at the courthouse this week from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, then on Saturday from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and on Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. The last day for early voting will be Monday, the day before the election, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. For all of us in recovery in Gibson Townships and the village of Fort Recovery, all state offices will be on the ballot this year, along with State Issue 1, proposing reduced penalties for crimes of obtaining, possessing, and using illegal drugs. Also on the ballot will be U.S. Senator, U.S. House of Representatives, State Representative, a County Commissioner seat, County Auditor, Justice of the Ohio Supreme Court, and Court of Appeals Judge. In addition to these contests, voters in the village of Fort Recovery will vote on the renewal of a tax levy for stormwater control expenses. Be sure to get out and vote on November 6th anytime from 6:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the Legion. It's your right and your obligation.
Yeah, it's the practice squad. Yeah, follow along.
Yeah.
At FR practice
squad. It's your boy.
419-516-0702. Please call us and let us know just whatever you're thinking, because why not? And follow along.
Don't open it up to that.
At FR practice squad. We're not...
we're like the love line.
We're like love line, yeah. If you have any love problems or dating problems, we'd love to give you advice or anything. So, you know what I like? I like TV shows, guys. Do you guys like TV shows?
Big fan of TV, Dave.
Oh, really?
Big fan.
I also really like just specific scenes in television shows.
The best part of
is that what our draft is about?
Yeah. It's our...
wouldn't you say?
Yeah. So, Jordan, do you have the drop of that we painstakingly recorded?
Draft 10.0.
It's funny to us.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody else. Play one more time.
Draft 10.0.
So
that right there, if we want to analyze it, is you like giving up and just realizing like, I hope I get to do this again. And we're like, no.
Well, my director was telling me not to be so aggressive. Yeah. So then I toned it down. But then he was telling me that I toned it down too much. So then I just didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah. The 15 people that are
and that's exactly what I wanted you to be.
And I'm at my best when I don't care.
I know. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Always have been. Always have been. So, yeah, TV shows are great. And scenes in those TV shows are just so memorable. And we just take them with us for our whole life. And we just cherish them. So, and mainly Garmin and Jordan. So I'm going to start with them.
Okay.
Jordan.
Can I go first?
Yeah, Philly starts today. Philly starts today.
Blue likes tea.
Do you not want me to have you start now?
I'm fine.
Okay.
My first one's going to be...
Wait.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Pick is in.
Sorry.
Is the pick in?
Yes.
It's in.
Are you sure?
It's written on the card.
Kill time. I'm going with last season of Game of Thrones. The last scene was when the White Walkers are coming to the wall.
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler. Yep.
This whole thing's spoiler.
Spoiler alert. The dragon that died, then White Walker brought back to life. This melted the whole wall like it was nothing. Then all of a sudden, all these White Walkers just walked through. And it was a pretty epic scene to set up this last season.
And I also thought was a very, like, super fast way for the White Walkers finally reached the wall. It's like six seasons of, like, we built this wall 1,000 years ago and no one will ever be able to cross it.
Winter is coming.
Boom.
Yeah.
It's gone.
It was gone in 2 seconds. I still think the Night King knew about it beforehand. There's some time travel thing going on.
Don't go conspiracy theory on it.
He had three spears for the three dragons. He knew it was coming. He knew it was going on.
Yep. We won't get into
it. Well, he probably figured the only way he could win is if he had one of the dragons.
I know, but I think he had three for the third dragon. He knew it was going to go.
Yeah, I think like someone was on Google like looking up theories for Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I etched it on my... Never mind. I'm going to go next because I'm calling the shots here. I'm going to go with... scene in The Sopranos. Adriana Laserva. Sorry. Adriana Laserva confesses to Christopher.
Christopher.
That she was wearing a wire.
Ooh. Christopher!
Yeah. Very serious scene.
Oh, yeah. I don't mean to make fun of it because like, that scene like makes me sick to my stomach whenever.
Yeah.
Is it Silvio? Or is it Big or Sil?
Yeah. Takes her out. Yeah.
And she's crawling through the woods and she doesn't want to die.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
She was great, but she's undercover and she's being talked to by an undercover cop and she doesn't know what to do about it. And she tells him.
Which, fun fact, that undercover FBI agent, she is married to Will Arnett, which I think is random.
I thought Amy Poehler was.
They got divorced.
No, I mean in the show.
Oh.
Her actual husband is played by Will Arnett.
Oh. I didn't even know he was in that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look it up. Do it.
All right. But Will Arnett and Poehler are divorced.
Okay.
That is
tough. Well, thank God we know that.
The gossip section of the show.
Yeah, no big deal.
We need to have a gossip section. See how that would go over.
A TMZ section.
Yes.
Justin Bieber eats a burrito from the middle.
I did see that.
Jonah Hill at the airport today? He's fat again.
I did see that post. That's funny.
All right, Garmin, do you want to go?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
This is all out of order.
Yeah, it don't matter.
You guys keep me straight because I'm lost already.
As long as everybody gets a pick. Okay, I showed David this earlier. I don't know if anyone's ever watched Daredevil, but if you had a chance, this show is super, like, second episode, at the end of the second episode, Daredevil's trying to save this kid through, like, human trafficking.
Yeah.
And it's a hallway fight scene that is all, it's probably not all one shot, but they make it look like
blood
one shot.
Blood everywhere.
No, it's just, like, he fights, like, eight guys, and it's absolutely amazing. Yeah. Like, it is real.
He did show to me it is life-changing.
Well, but no,
is this the one that he's in prison or not?
No, it's
the
not.
One in prison, he just comes out walking up blood everywhere.
This scene kind of is famous in that show where every season they try to top it, but basically he fights like eight guys, and it's very realistic because it just like... go ahead.
Has anybody watched The Haunting of Hill House yet?
I'm going to.
I have. I heard it was good. It's good.
Yeah, but there's a couple scenes... where it's like all one, not one, like
they do it like it looks like a single shot.
Yeah. It was like for 20 minutes. It was like one single shot.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is crazy.
I wanted to watch that, but then, my wife started watching Man in the High Castle.
What movie is it? Good?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. But then I fell asleep through like three episodes. So now I'm way behind and she won't let me catch up. So yeah, I guess it's over. Happy anniversary, Tori. I love you.
Yay. I don't have sounds for that, but
that's okay.
Hit the anniversary drop.
Yay!
That's a really popular radio drop. Jordan, your pick. You got back-to-back picks.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you, guys. That's a really good drop, yeah. Harp is a dumb instrument. No, it's not.
Let's talk about the harp.
Yeah, harps are stupid.
If you could strum the
talk. Schmidtalk.
Yeah.
Harps are
I'm going to corner the market on the harps are dumb instrument takes.
Yeah, you have a lot of competition. All right, mine. My pick is in. My pick is going to be from The Office. The CPR scene, which I don't know if you guys are aware.
I think my sister just texted
the first aid.
That is, yeah, the first aid where first Stanley aid had a heart issue. It was just, it's probably like a 5-minute scene where everyone kind of gets involved and has a moment where they are doing CPR on like a, what do you want to call it? A dummy.
Yeah, one of the CPR dummies.
Yeah, one of the CPR dummies, and they start singing.
They do the Bee Gees and Michael alive. Starts from the beginning of the
yeah. And she like asked him, I don't know what question she asked him. I should prepare a little bit more. But he's like, no, I don't know if he wants to survive because he has no arms or legs.
Yeah, what do we do if the patient has no arms or no legs?
Check him for a wallet. He doesn't have a wallet. I already checked.
Is he an organ donor?
Yeah, and then he stabs him right.
Yeah. And then Kevin, he has to come back to Kevin where he's like, I don't know if he wants to live with no arms or no legs. And Michael Scott's like, yeah, that's how you already live, Kevin.
It's basically it's, how you live, right
yeah,
now.
You live right now, Kevin. Okay.
Good pick.
Yeah.
Back to back.
All I got back to back. I'm going to pick a scene from Breaking Bad that is when Walt runs over a couple of the drug dealers.
In the Aztec?
Yeah, in the Aztec. I feel like that was the first moment. That was like one of the true moments of a TV show where I was like, it was like whoa. Captivating.
Me too. I had like, that on my list.
It was like where he turned, like that's where he became Heisenberg.
Yeah.
That's
it was just like where he became like.
It's where it became like a show.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow.
Yeah. That was cool.
So that was just a scene that I always like watched and had a big impact on my life.
Good pick.
Running people over the car.
Garmin. Okay. I think I got this order down. It's like a zigzag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Okay, I've said this before on the show that I think the first season of True Detective is one of the best seasons of television ever. So in the fourth episode, you guys probably know what I'm talking about. The scene where it's the same thing kind of like I was talking about with Daredevil before. It's all one shot when Matthew McConaughey's character, Russ Cole, is undercover doing the drug bust and the cops are chasing him and he's going from like house to house and they just keep following him everywhere. I mean, that's absolutely amazing.
So that is a really good pick.
It's awesome. Like if anyone
like, don't fire,
and then and then the guy does, and then like
that's another just, one whole shot take too. Yeah, good pick. I like the pick.
Thank you.
Picks in, yeah. I'm gonna go with Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It is from the episode The Gang Solves the Gas Crisis, and it is where they have a brilliant idea to. Buy gas and put it in 55-gallon drums and then resell it. And they don't know how to resell it. But it's the last scene in which Charlie yells wild card because they all have like roles in the gang.
Yeah.
And like, well, Dennis thinks he's the cool guy and then the other guys, but they say, Charlie, you're the wild card. And he's like, well, what's a wild card? So at the end, when you don't know it's coming, he just yells wild card and he jumps out of a moving vehicle because he cut the brakes. And this van is now driving without brakes full of gas and they all have to jump out of it. And it hits a car in front of the same guy's house that they've been destroying stuff in front of his house the whole episode. And every time he goes out the window, he goes, come on, what the? And he blows up this guy's car and it's just unbelievable. And that show, I've never laughed out loud so hard, but that episode's great because the van has no brakes. It runs into another car and blows it up. And it's the same guy that they've been destroying his stuff. And he's like sitting in his couch going, come on. It's fantastic. It's a great show.
As good.
Philly.
Okay. I was a big Son of Anarchy guy. And I'm going to go with the last clip.
Don't tell me.
Why, you haven't seen it?
No, I'm kidding.
So I'm going with the last clip on there where, I mean, it's too hard to really explain.
Is this like the last scene in the whole show?
Yes, last scene. And it's pretty much short story short, or long story short, his mom kills his wife or girlfriend.
Ooh.
And
he finds out, then he kills his wife, then he's just kind of tired of all this stuff or whatever, and he pretty much, cops are chasing him on a bike, and he swerves in front of a semi to kill himself or whatever.
What?
So, yeah. But it's a lot better than what I explained, but...
Seems pretty intense.
That's how the show ends.
Yeah. He kills himself. Because he's tired of it.
Spoiler alert.
He's tired of all the stuff because he got his wife killed, and he killed his mom, and yeah.
Backfill, is it? Or is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Then, third pick is another show that I kind of fell into, and I'm still, I missed some shows lately, but it's...
House Hunters?
No.
Oh.
The Walking Dead, and I'm going with the scene when Rick Grimes wakes up in hospital, then he kind of walks out of the hospital and he finds out what's going on. I thought it was pretty cool because he's kind of...
It's the best moment in that show.
Yeah.
That's, by far. I was going to say that of all, like, probably in that show, that's one of the best.
Yeah, so
back, like, when the show was like good and you're like, oh, this is amazing.
I forget how, like, he got shot or he got...
He was in an accident. Like, there was a shootout and then he's like in a coma or something.
He was in a coma.
And then he wakes up.
All this happened.
What's that guy's name?
Shane.
Yeah. All this stuff happened and he finally came out of the coma when all it went down and he was in a hospital room that was locked shut so a walker couldn't get in there to kill him pretty much. But then he wakes up and he's just kind of like in a daze. He don't know what's going on and he's in Atlanta, hot Atlanta.
How long was he in the coma?
I don't know.
He has a beard.
Yeah. Long enough for the whole world to be zombies.
To be zombies, pretty much. So, yeah, he's walking out of this hospital, and he's trying to find out what's going on. Then, like, yeah, there's just zombies everywhere.
Yeah, the coma is just used as a device for us to not have to spend money for the show.
Who's up?
My pick is in, Commissioner. To go with South Park, Little Crime Stoppers, and it's where the kids are detectives of the month, or they're like little crimes, like they solve a, like they find like little girl's doll, and so the police commissioner's like, great job finding those doll kids, and then he just turns really quick and goes, there's a meth lab down in Malta Vista. And then he makes these little kids go bust this meth lab.
Yeah.
And it's just fantastic. Like the turn that he makes, like he's like being all.
Like, he gives them like honorary like sheriff's badges and stuff like that. And then, he's like,
you guys are signed up for, you guys are now honorary detectives. There's a myth that do it by the books, you hear me? It's just fantastic. And the whole episode just goes crazy after that.
There's like some of the best stuff of the entire series in that episode.
Yeah. It's always been one of my favorites. So that's mine.
Cool. Is it me?
Garmin.
Garmin. It's Garmin.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna go The Office, and there's many routes I could go, like funny, but I'm not. I'm gonna go like a serious part of The Office. Of that entire show, I think one of the best moments of that show is the season 2 finale casino night when Jim confesses to Pam that he loves her.
Aww.
No, it's just like there's...
I disagree.
There's just all that buildup, and that's probably one of the main reasons why that relationship is one of the main reasons why that show kept going.
But don't you think the scene where he could have got the job in New York and turned it down, and then his next move was to go back to Scranton and ask Pam out on date? That's when it really happened.
When what really happened?
When Jim,
you were so satisfied in yourself after you said
when Jim and Pam really started.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, there was all that buildup of. It's like 22 episodes of those two like flirting and stuff like that. And then he finally puts himself out there. And that's what makes that scene so good is that she turns him down. Like it doesn't work out the way it's supposed to, the way a storybook ending would. Mm-hmm. And then you get it a season later. But I just like that.
Karen Filippelli.
Karen Filippelli.
Okay. My third choice.
Be your second.
Back to back. I'm going to pick The Red Wedding. I don't know if anybody else picked The Red Wedding. So that was one of the scenes. There's a lot of scenes in Game of Thrones that we could probably pick. But that kind of was a story, pretty much a climax of the Lannisters, not the Lannisters.
Starks. That scene is legitimately where after that happened, I was like, whoa, where is this show going now?
Yeah. So I won't give away any other scenes, but it was kind of, you know, everyone's on watch of it could be your favorite character's last TV or last episode.
That, so. Yeah, that episode kind of makes you on the edge of your seat every time.
Well, and like the episode. Starks at that point were kind of the family you were rooting for.
You thought Rob was like, okay, he's the main character now.
So, and yeah, well, the rest is history in terms of what happens to the family. But so, yeah.
No spoilers? No more? You don't want to spoil it? The whole thing?
No.
Okay.
I guess I have a back-to-back. Yeah. My last one. And Garmin, I don't know if you're going to choose this. Were you going to choose anything from Dexter?
Yeah.
Were you going to choose?
I got others, though. Go ahead.
Can I do when his wife?
That was the one I had, but yeah, okay. Go ahead.
So I'll choose something different. I will choose...
good man.
The so the scene in the newsroom, I think it was the opening scene. Jeff Daniels gives like his like 3.5-minute speech of why America is not the greatest country in the world, which I believe is he wrote that speech and he's like, hey, I gotta make a show out of this. And he did. And it was all right for like one or two seasons and it kind of fell off.
Yeah.
But
no, I think that show only ran for 3 seasons. I don't think it was. I love that show.
I like the first 2 seasons. I don't know. I'm not sure about the 3rd season, but
it's only like 6 episodes.
It was a good scene. It was one of those that kind of captivated you and you thought, hey, this might be a really good show.
Right. And then it was one of those things where it was shared on Facebook like 800,000 times.
Yeah, and
it
still is. Yeah, it's overshared.
Yeah.
But when it was first released, it was good. So, that's it.
Garmin, picks in. I was waiting for the old jingle. Okay, so I will do what Jordan was going to do because Dexter... Even though I wouldn't say it's not the best show. It's one of my favorite shows of all time. And the season 4 finale, spoilers, when Rita dies, I think is one of the most shocking things I've ever seen in TV. But the thing that made that so good was that whole season was about Dexter. If no one's ever seen the show, he's like a serial killer, but he only kills bad guys. And basically he was starting to think that he could live a normal life and maybe not have to kill people anymore. And that was basically the writer's way of telling us all that he'll never be able to live a normal life. And they took away the only thing that was grounding him, and that was when Rhea died. And I was like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was a crazy scene, too. I remember watching that in college.
I did not expect it. Because it ended like that show normally does, where, you know, killed the bad guy the whole season, and everything's going to work out, and we'll go into the next season, and then nope.
It's a good one. Picks in. I'm going to go with the... sprawling urban drama, The Wire. Is that a good way to describe The Wire?
Yeah. Definitely.
I'm going to go with the chess scene in which, fill me in, it's D'Angelo Barksdale, I believe. Or D'Angelo...
It's Avon's cousin. Yeah.
He's explaining to the kids, like, life through chess.
Yeah.
It's like, see, we be the pawns, and the pawns are the ones that go out to the corners, and they basically get shot. And then the kings, they would make all the money. It's just like a really well-written, smartly thought out.
Was that early on the first season?
It's the first season.
Yeah, because... Yeah.
It's basically explaining like the street life.
Yeah,
and
how far does D make it?
He goes to jail that season.
Yeah, he goes to jail and doesn't...
Is it just one season?
Yeah.
Made it to season 2, I thought.
And he does spoilers, doesn't he get killed in jail?
Yeah, he gets hanged, I think.
Yeah, by a belt.
Yeah, but they want him to like turn on everybody and like rat everybody out.
Where's Wallace?
I was never a big fan of D, though. But
I wasn't either. Yeah. But I think that scene is just really smart. And that's what I found on Google 5 seconds ago. Philly.
All right, my last one is going to be another Game of Thrones one. And I'm going with the whole door. That scene.
That's a good one.
There's a lot of good scenes in the show, obviously, like the people that watch it. But I think after that, watching that episode, I kind of just stood up with my hands on top of my head and
you
was like,
cried.
I was like, oh my God. Like, you know, it was like kind of I guess it explained a lot. Like, it was just weird because it's going back in time. And it was really weird, but it was a very cool scene.
Well, it was cool because you know that they knew that that was something that they had to know from the beginning because Hodor was in it from the get-go.
Yeah.
And then they figure out that's how he got his name.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It explained everything about Hodor pretty much. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's our favorite TV show scenes. Allie also texted in the Kevin's chili scene in the office. Yeah.
That is great.
trying to scoop the chili back in the bucket. I think it's my
favorite. Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I also had the Game of Thrones when the battle of Viper in the mountain.
Yep.
Because I thought the Viper could have been a really, really cool character.
They killed him.
Until he crushed his skull.
The stakes that were on the line, it was like,
I kind of thought he was going to win.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah. I mean, he pretty much had it, and he had to be cocky.
That's a good metaphor for life.
Complete 180s, and the mountain crushed his skull like nothing.
I had the soup Nazi scene from Seinfeld. Yeah. I had the chicken scene from Arrested Development. But I didn't want to get made fun of for trying to impersonate the chicken.
I was going to bring the scenes in South Park about the rednecks and took our jazz.
Yeah.
That, and then.
So there's a lot of them. So if you have some, as the kids say, get at us on Twitter. Do the kids say that?
Family Guy when he's in fight, he fights the chicken.
Oh, wait. We have a call.
Who do we have on the line?
Are we going to be able to hear it? Can we hear it?
Yeah, I can hear it in the headphones. Hey, we're on the air. Who do we have?
It's Kevin from Deer Park.
Hey, Kevin from Deer Park. How you been?
Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Pretty good. Deer Park High School was playing Coldwater High School in the football playoffs this weekend. I'm sure you knew that.
Of course I knew that. I was cheering them on.
Okay. What is the Deer Park's mascot? Do you know?
Should it be a deer?
Deers. I hope they're deers.
It's a big flock.
Deer Park
Ducks.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite TV show scene, Kevin, from Deer Park?
Love the topic tonight, boys. You guys hit on two of the shows I wanted to mention, but of course you picked the wrong scenes.
Okay, yeah, we typically are.
Say the shows, and I bet we can name the scenes.
Yeah, I felt the need to inform your audience of better scenes on two of the shows you selected. Let's start with Breaking Bad, which is the greatest television show ever put on the air.
Yeah, you're very certain on what's greatest of all time. But Ocarina of Time is my show.
There's no discussion on this. It is a proven fact.
Okay.
I think Jordan mentioned the Half Measures episode earlier. Excellent scene. But you missed the best scene, which is the I am the one who knocks.
Can you walk through that? Because I forget how that happens.
So this is towards the end of the show. This is where his wife, Walter White's wife, Skylar.
Yeah, I don't like Skylar.
Aware of what he is doing. Yeah, Skylar's aware of what he's doing, and people are finally on to him. And so Skylar sort of approaches him and says, hey, this is our way out. You know, you're the cancer patient, high school teacher. You know, this is your way out to say that people kind of forced you into this. And it's the moment when he truly breaks bad. Catch what I did there?
Yeah.
To his own wife. It scares the living daylights out of not only her, but out of the audience when he tells her that he is the one who knocks. Yeah. And when there's somebody on the other side of that door with a gun, it is him. It's always him.
That show's great. So
classic.
Good show.
Classic scene.
Yeah.
And then this isn't even one of my favorite shows, but I think it's one of Garmin's. And I believe he mentioned, or somebody mentioned, a scene from The Wire, season one of The Wire.
I did, yeah. I quickly Googled the chess scene. So
the scene that's even better than that, that I have to say blew me away, is, again, season one of The Wire. I've got to figure out the best way to approach the scene. I'm just going to call it the F scene. When,
where they only say the cuss word.
Main cops, they go to a crime scene, and the only word muttered from either guy is the F-bomb, and as many possible ways they can come up with it. It's pure brilliance. It's like Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. While just dropping F bombs.
Yeah, that was like a murder in an apartment or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bunk and
I believe there was a woman that was killed McNulty. In an apartment.
McNulty, yeah, you're drunk again.
There's articles that say how that was the greatest written scene in TV history, and all it is.
How much do you think McNulty drank each night?
Oh, hopefully a handle or more, I would say.
Probably Jameson, right?
Oh, he was Irish.
I was
just
saying it was at least a
few. Oh, of course. Yeah, you don't drink any whiskey other than Jameson if you're an Irishman.
True. Well, thanks for your input, Kevin, from Deer Park.
That is one of the most well-written scenes in all of TV.
One word.
Considering it only uses one word. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Do you have a show that we haven't mentioned or a scene that we haven't mentioned?
That's a very good question. Mad Men had a lot of fantastically written scenes. Big fan of Mad Men. Let's see, what else? The West Wing had some good written shows, but it's a little dry, a little dull.
That's a Sorkin one, isn't it? Aaron Sorkin?
Yeah.
It's a Sorkin.
The Walk and Talk, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and good call on the, I think this was a Garmin. Good call on that hallway scene. That is a really well done scene in that first season of Daredevil that pretty much all of those Netflix shows have attempted to copy in some way, and nobody can pull it off.
Well, yeah. Garmin showed me that today, and I'll definitely be checking that out. So
it's good.
Yeah.
Check out the third season they just dropped recently. They attempt it again, and they do a fairly decent job.
The Prison Break.
Yeah. There are parts of it that are a little outrageous, but overall, it's pretty well done.
Do you have
that one was a legitimate one take scene?
Yeah,
the third season they actually did shoot that with just one take.
Do you have like a TV show blog that we can plug for you?
I'll work on putting that up for the next phone call.
Sounds good, Kev. Hey, thanks for calling.
Gentlemen,
right,
big fan.
Yeah,
big
thank
fan.
You.
Thanks. See you, man. Can I drop something real quick? He brought up Mad Men.
Yeah.
I think one of, and I've told you guys this before, there's the scene, I think it was in the last season. I think it's one of the ultimate insult scenes I've ever seen in my life is one of these guys that works for Don Draper is in an elevator just chewing him out like, you know, you do this and you do this, blah, blah, blah. And then he just looks over him. He's like, I don't even think about you at all.
Yeah.
And then walks out of the elevator. I don't know why, but I love that scene.
Well, that's our favorite TV shows and Kevin from Deer Park's favorite TV shows. So let us know yours and we'll continue to discuss them. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with a couple more Would You Rathers and maybe some lookalikes. So we'll be right back.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs. Feeling hungry but don't want to make it yourself? Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and they'll make it for you. They're now open every day. Whether it's their pizza, wings, salads, subs, or other sandwiches that you want, just let them do the work. And you don't want to miss their Friday lunch buffet with their famous pizza, wings, and salad bar from 11 to 1. Their Queen of Hearts drawing will be every Saturday afternoon at 3:30, so be sure to get out there and get your tickets for your chance to win. And now's the time to get your lanes reserved for birthday parties and other events. That's Miracle Lanes. Call them at 375-4274. You're invited to the Fort Recovery Merchants Christmas Open House on Sunday, November 11th from 11 to 5. The town's retail merchants will be open with many great bargains plus great holiday cookies and other treats. Santa will be strolling the streets, the museum will be open, and there will be live pioneer demonstrations in the log house, carriage rides through town, the high school choir will be caroling downtown, story hour and crafts at the library from 1 to 2:30. And new this year, a live nativity scene in downtown Fort Recovery. And our mural artist, Dan Kies, will be around all afternoon to explain the historical details in his murals, and he'll be putting his official signature on the murals at 2 o'clock. And don't forget to sign up at all the retail merchants for the $1,000 shopping spree. So make your plans now to get to the best Christmas open house around, and now it's even bigger and better than ever. Savings galore in all the stores, right here in Fort Recovery, Sunday, November 11th from 11 to 5. Wednesday night is Talk Night on Fort Recovery Radio, and we have another good one coming up this week. On Insight at 7, Jack will talk with Beth Butler, the CEO of the CA Group, formerly affiliated with Cheryl Ann. We'll find out all about what they do to provide services to people in our area with disabilities. Then on Sports Talk at 8, Bubba and Fee will talk with the group in charge of WOW, the Win on the Wabash Party coming up next summer. They'll explain how this super raffle works and what some of the nearly $250,000 worth of prizes are going to be. They're ready to give out the details that everybody's been wondering about ever since Win on the Wabash was announced. Talk Night this Wednesday, Insight at 7 with the CA Group. Sports Talk at 8 with the Win on the Wabash Group, giving us the details on their super raffle coming up next summer. If you miss a minute, you miss a lot. On Talk Night, every Wednesday on Fort Recovery Radio, nonstop Fort Recovery.
Garma's dancing.
Yeah.
Follow along at FR Practice Squad on Twitter or give us a call 419-516-0702.
Would you rather?
What you got?
So, would you rather? All right. Let's see here. Sorry, I actually don't have one ready.
Good.
All right. Would you rather have to carry around for 1 year, all right, would you rather have to carry around a mandatory purse or have to post a selfie of yourself every day?
Mandatory purse, like you have to have a purse.
Yep.
Okay, is a purse over the shoulder or is it like handbag?
Is it a clutch?
No, it's a purse.
Is it a very feminine?
Those clutches are so cute
it's
nowadays.
Not a clutch.
Is it a very feminine looking purse?
Is it Gucci?
Is it a Michael Kors?
I prefer Coach.
It's
Coach.
Vera Bradley.
Does Michael Kors make purses?
I'm
just pulling.
Vera Bradley.
I have no idea.
I think Vera Bradley has those crazy, stupid designs.
Mm-hmm. Very colorful.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like hard to, like when it's bright out, you can't look
tacky
at it.
You can't, you don't have anything that would match it.
You're telling me I don't have anything in my wardrobe that can match that.
I am going to take a picture of me and put it on the gram every day. I'm taking the selfies.
Yeah.
I would take selfies as well. Because I have like 5 followers on Instagram or
whatever. What about like mirror selfies?
Ooh.
They have to be.
Do I have to put my hand on my
shirtless
hip?
Shirtless mirror selfies?
You don't have to do any kind of selfies. Just take a picture of your face so you could be like, who cares?
Selfie, hashtag day 5.
I think Philly might just start taking selfies regardless.
It's a selfie.
He probably already does.
I would probably do the selfie because I people be like, why do you keep taking selfies? Like, because otherwise I have to wear a purse. Like, all right. Jordan gave me this really weird ultimatum one day, so I just went with the selfies.
Yeah, I'd probably go with the selfie.
All right. I'll do the purse.
Does it bother you that I'm standing?
No, I like it because it's like you're getting into it. It's good.
All right, you guys want to do some looks likes?
Yeah.
Do it.
Do you want to? That's the question.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely want to, David. All right.
So, I thought they're funny.
Do you have applause and booing sounds ready to go?
Let's see here.
That's good.
I have that.
And?
I don't know if I have a good...
we need to get that Jamaican air horn.
I know.
I want the Game of Thrones bell where it's shame.
Shame. By the way, Bush is doing a halftime concert at the football game right now, so it looks really weird.
I still don't know who Bush is.
Gavin Rossdale, man.
Is there any like particular song that I would know?
I'm sure there
can
is.
Can you sing it? Like your most famous song?
You know the song Machine Head? Probably listen to it in the weight room.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I was singing those two were like Jet.
Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Be My Girl.
Yeah. And Headstrong by Trapped.
Yeah.
And Cold by Crossfade.
Yeah, and what's the one? I think it has a curse word in it. I think it's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
Buckcherry.
Buckcherry. Oh, that's really
all his bands suck so bad. Anymore.
Well, if it is, Jordan has to take it out if I say it.
Don't say it.
You got those looks like?
Because it changed it all because it's a female door.
All right. Drop. Does Rex and Rob Ryan look like an aging pro wrestling tag team that still perform at county fairs?
That's good.
The overweight factor helps a lot.
I thought you were going to be like, do Rob and Rex Ryan look like each other?
No.
Do Rob and Rex Ryan look overweight?
Field Yates look like the guy always standing next to your boss?
Yes.
Yeah, he's just some insider that he always has. Like,
Jordan or Garmin likes Field Yates.
So I do like Field Yates, but that doesn't insult him.
No.
I didn't particularly think that was very funny, I'll be honest with you.
But he does seem like a guy that would be like.
All right. Does Brad Stevens look like the new young pastor at a church that slowly wins over the old people who don't like change?
Like, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I could see him in the robe now, in the garb.
What is the white collar called? Is that like a name for something?
Priest neck?
It does have a name.
Sure. Priest neck. That's, I think, for sure. It's, I don't know.
The official priest neck.
Do it like Urban Dictionary. It's probably in the definition. Does Jimmy Garoppolo look like the guy playing beach volleyball with his twin brother in a Double Mint commercial?
Yes. Those commercials used to be all the time.
Does Skip Bayless look like the youth basketball referee who shoots free throws during timeouts?
Yeah, because he looks like a tool. So
he's kind of jacked.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, but he's still a tool.
I agree. I'm not defending his toolness.
Do you guys know what Will Cain looks like?
No.
Okay.
What did you say?
Will Cain.
Will Cain.
Give me Will.
Yeah. Google Will Cain. Will I'll Cain. Do the next one.
Columnist Will Cain.
Yeah, he has his own ESPN show.
Now. Yeah, it's not that good.
Will Cain. Kind of looks like a country singer.
Yeah, he looks like Luke Bryan.
Just Will Cain.
So
Luke
just have a picture in front of you as I say this one.
Okay.
Okay.
I got it. Showing everybody.
Does Will Cain look like the guy pulled over on the side of the highway in a convertible trying to talk his way out of a speeding ticket by angrily reminding the officer, my taxes pay your salary, pal.
Absolutely.
I didn't write that one. All right. Last one.
I'm just looking at pictures of Will Cain.
All right, does Bill Belichick's face look like his son just told him that he doesn't identify as a male anymore?
Bill Belichick just looks disappointed.
Constantly, yeah.
Like his son told him that and then it just locked.
Well, we hope you all enjoyed the show today.
Would you rather?
Oh, we can't end the show because we have a would you rather.
More.
In your face.
That's a good way. I like it. It just stops me. It shuts me up.
So, would you rather... Let's see here.
I'm glad you did the drop.
Would you rather be put in the Hunger Games or the Triwizard Tournament?
Ooh. How good am I at wizardry?
Yourself.
Do I have the Elder Wand?
Do we get the... Okay. No,
you don't know magic.
Do we have one of the three Deathly Hallows?
No.
What is that?
This is probably going to be over everybody's head, but...
The Elder Wand, the Invisibility Cloak, and...
Do you die if you lose in the Triwizarding Tournament?
Yeah.
Well,
do die.
Yeah. Can you survive it?
Yes.
Okay, but the only way that you can win Hunger Games is...
You can win...
There's only one winner of Hunger Games.
Yeah,
no. Everyone
dies,
unless you
right?
fall in love.
So I'd rather be the Wizarding because I got a better chance of survival.
But you have no magic with you. It's just you right now.
Oh, so I'm going to die then?
No, you might. You just get disqualified. Unless you get some of that gillyweed, you know?
What happens if I just curl up in a ball in the corner and just say, don't touch me?
Because I'm going to do the Triwizarding Tournament because if you don't complete a task, you don't die and then you are knocked out and then you're done.
So I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm doing the Hunger Games.
I'm making it interesting.
Can you do
the Hunger Games whistle?
No.
Okay. I was hoping you'd try it.
No.
That's
we all lick our lips.
No, I'm not even going to try. Garnet. Oh, I didn't hold up. Like, will you hold up? Yeah, three fingers. Well, we hope you all enjoyed the show today. The Bengals have a bye next week because we do talk about football mainly, but tonight I feel like we just talked about whatever we felt
random
like.
Random stuff.
Who the Titans have? The Titans have Monday Night Football. We're watching the Titans.
Nobody's watching.
Are you going to even make the show? Are you going to?
Yes, Dallas Cowgirls.
Are you going to be watching the screen the whole time?
Yes, I probably won't talk.
Okay.
So I'll be here in person.
Garmin and I don't care what happens. We'll just probably try and find red zone somewhere.
The Browns win.
Browns play the Chiefs. Go yes. Browns.
The Browns do not win.
Browns will win.
They may cover.
And I'm going to make a trade, and I'm going to pick up Baker Mayfield and put him on my team for this
Sounds
week.
Good. Play us out, Jordan.
All right, bye, guys.
Yeah. So for David Schmidt, producer Jordan Stogler, Craig Garmin, and Troy Metzger,
see ya.
Have a great week, everybody.